This year during the Advent season, we have been talking about the dual themes of being on a journey and daring to imagine the ways that God is present with us during these journeys. This morning, we are invited to imagine being clothed in God's robe as we continue on life's literal and spiritual journeys. I love this image of a robe. Last year for Christmas, I finally received something that I had been asking to receive as a present for a couple of years. When we first got Cicero, he would hear the sounds outside in the middle of the night and want to go out, whether it was warm or cold. He wanted to go outside and investigate what that sound was. And so up I'd go, have to take him outside, put him on his leash before we had the invisible fence. And all I wanted was a robe. A nice, warm robe that could be put on quickly and taken off quickly, that would be comfortable and warm. And last year at Christmas, I got that robe. And when, just like clockwork, Cicero and Willow woke me up to go outside in the middle of the night, I could put on that robe. And within that robe, I felt sheltered. I felt protected. I felt warmed in that robe. We're daring to imagine God's robe. Robes have a significant role not only in ancient Judaism, but also in most world religions, including Christianity. Most priests in the past wore robes, and most priests in the present continue to wear robes. In Judaism, the robe set the priest apart from the rest of God's people as a mediator, as a person who stood between God and the people as a conduit of God's grace and peace. I asked Chris to read all of these different passages that are the lectionary passages for this Sunday, because in each and every one of them, there is a reference to this concept or this idea of being clothed in a robe. In our first reading for this Sunday morning, we are told that as the young boy Samuel was serving God's people in the tabernacle, that he was wearing a linen ephod. The ephod was worn by the high priest, and it was sort of like a breastplate, if you will, that was made of precious metals and stones, but a much simpler linen ephod was worn by all priests in addition to wearing a robe. But there was Samuel, this little boy who had been called by God to minister in the tabernacle. But unlike all the other priests, he had no robe. It was almost as if he wasn't complete. He wasn't full. He hadn't been set aside like the other priests to serve God by wearing a robe. And so in love, his mother Hannah would make him a new robe every year as he grew from being a small boy to a full-grown man. As Samuel was clothed in that robe, he was reminded that he was clothed in God, and his calling was to be a mediator of God's grace and love to the world. It is interesting that in the Psalm 148 passage, it is actually God who is clothed in a robe. In this psalm of praise, we are told that God was clothed in the praises of God's people. Like a robe that covers a person, our praises clothe God, and God inhabits or lives within those praises. And that's an interesting thing to consider, that our words of praise, our songs of adoration to God, are literally something that God inhabits, God lives in. It is interesting that when we come to the New Testament, there are some subtle changes that take place in the language of robes and being clothed in them. In the New Testament, through the death and resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Spirit, we are all made whole, and we together become a kingdom of priests. In our Anabaptist tradition, the primary reason why I am not wearing a robe this morning, signifying my place as a priest or pastor who ministers to the body, is because we believe that each and every one of us are priests. And each and every one of us is called to minister to God's people and the world. The presence of the Spirit clothing people with God's robe is no longer limited just to priests as it was in the Old Testament. All of God's people are clothed in God's robe and called to be like priests. Thus, in our passage from Luke, when Jesus ditches his parents and stays behind in the temple, it is clear from the context that a connection is being made between Jesus and Samuel. The connection is called typology. One thing happened in the past, and something even greater is happening in the present. Typology was a form of interpretation that the ancient people loved to use. We think of it in terms of history repeating itself, and that's sort of what it is, but it's not just simply something happened then and now something happens. It's something happened back then that was great and amazing, and now something even more amazing and great is happening in the present. So God called and clothed a young boy named Samuel with God's presence and blessed him to minister to God's people. Now here in Luke, God again is calling a young boy and clothing that young boy with God's presence. But unlike Samuel, who saved God's people from a few calamities, this young boy, Jesus, will save the world from their sins. Jesus is the greater Samuel who has come to serve God's people. And so it is right, as Jesus said, that he be in his Father's house, the temple. One of the interesting things about typology is that you always want to consider what is missing, what's been left out, how are the stories different, because that quite often is something that the author wants to highlight. And what is missing in this passage is any reference to Mary now going and making a robe for Jesus as he matures. The passage tells us that he grows in maturity and stature and wisdom. But Mary just treasures everything that happens in her mind. And there's no mention of Mary following Hannah's lead and making a new robe for Jesus every year. Most commentators suggest that the reason why that is absent, and the reason why there is no reference to Jesus, who's going to be the greatest high priest of all time, wearing a robe, is because Jesus is already so completely clothed in God that he has no need for a robe. When we come to the Colossians passage, this whole language of being clothed is used again. Paul, in the broader context, called on God's people to clothe themselves in certain virtues and to strip away or to take off certain vices. In Paul's imagery, the virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, forbearance, and above all, love that binds them together should be like clothes, in the sense that what people see in us as God's people are these virtues. Note that this act of clothing is to a great degree what we do. It is according to our will, our effort, that we clothe ourselves, Paul says, in the virtues of Christ and strip away the vices of the world. For Paul, this whole reality of being clothed in the virtues of Christ is not optional. Think about it for a second. In the New Testament, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are those things like perhaps evangelism, teaching and preaching, hospitality. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. And we know from references in Romans and in 1 Corinthians that one person might have this gift and another person might have that gift. And one of the things that we all need to discern is what gift do we have from the Spirit, and to be content and excited and to use that gift. But my gift may not be the same as your gift, and your gift may not be the same as my gift, and that's okay, because that's how the gifts work. But here's the kicker. When some people think of the fruits of the Spirit, they want to think in the same way. They want to think, well, you know, I have patience, but I don't have compassion. But that's okay, because God blessed me with patience, but not with compassion. So it's okay. And people literally think that way, and they go through life rationalizing and justifying vices in their life because, well, I wasn't blessed with that one. But for Paul, here and in Galatians, where he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and in so many other places, when Paul talks about these virtues, he emphasizes that it's by our volition, in combination with the work of the Spirit, it's by our effort, our discipline, and the empowering of the Spirit that we mature and grow and become more and more complete. And we should never take the perspective, well, I'm Irish and that's my background, so naturally I have a temper. That's just how it is. No. Our perspective should be what people are seeing, what people are experiencing, what I am clothing myself in can and should be all of these different virtues that Paul and Jesus talk about. I love this image of being clothed in them, because it reminds us that what we want people to see is patience and gentleness and kindness and self-control. We want them to see the virtues of Christ, to see Christ in us. That's the beauty of virtues. Virtue is very relational in nature. Patience isn't about me being able to decide that I'm going to put that Snicker candy bar on the shelf and I'm going to exercise patience. I'm not going to eat it until, 5 minutes. That's patience to a limited degree, but real patience has to do with how you relate to other people. Gentleness has to do with how you relate to other people. Forgiveness has to do with how we relate to other people. Love has to do with how we relate to other people. Virtue is fundamentally relational in nature. And so we're clothing ourselves in these virtues that help us then relate to people like Jesus related. In love, in compassion, forgiveness, and forbearance. So here's my challenge for us. As we begin this journey into the new year, as Susan already said, it's been a hard year. It's been a hard year. And maybe it's getting better. Maybe it's not. I don't know how to interpret what we're being told about COVID and other factors right now. I'll listen to and trust experts like Hans. So I don't know. We don't have control over that. I don't have control over whether or not there's going to be another new powerful variant on the horizon. I don't have control over whether or not the economy is going to crash. But here's what I do have control over. I have control over what I'm clothed in. Literally, because I get up in the morning and I do it, right? But at a spiritual level, I have control over what I'm clothed in. And I can choose with the Spirit's empowerment to be clothed in the virtues of Christ. So my challenge to you is in terms of all of these virtues that Paul talks about in Galatians and in Colossians, he talks about in Ephesians, so many different places. What virtue are you the weakest in? Where do you need the most growth? I mean, it's okay. I mean, Jesus matured in stature, and that Greek word for stature doesn't mean he got taller and taller. It's referring to his character. He matured, became more complete in his character. So if Jesus needed to do it, clearly we need to do it too. And we can with the Spirit's help. So ponder these virtues and ponder perhaps where you can grow and mature and become more complete so that when our brothers and sisters look at us and at you and when those outside of our fellowship look at us, they see that we're clothed in patience and gentleness, forgiveness, compassion, and love that binds them all together.